CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill, and we're very pleased to welcome Cleo Pascala, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to introduce a new topic in the world called the Quartet. We just made this up because there are four of them. The Foreign Minister of India, Jai Shankar, the Foreign Minister of Israel, Lapid, the Foreign Minister of the UAE, Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and the Secretary of State, aka Foreign Minister of the United States, Antony Blinken, in a virtual conference. To what end? Cleo, a very good evening to you. We have so many meetings of the mind these days in the Indo-Pacific and across the Pacific. Israel, India, the United States, and the UAE, what is their intention in this happy conversation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a very interesting grouping, and it gets to the second sort of existential threat for countries like India and indeed the United States, the first being China. The second one is radicalization, especially in countries that have a very young population. So Israel and India have been working very closely together, and India and the UAE have been working closely together, and India and the US have been working closely together. And now they're all concerned about what might happen, of course, with the fallout from Afghanistan. So, and they all have the same concerns about radicalizations within their countries. So it makes sense for them to come together and to try to not only deal with the threat, but find economic solutions that will give their very young populations, in the case of UAE and India, options that pull them away from the lure of extreme radicalization.
Gordon, you have a question about this surprising new blending.
Cleo, in their post-meeting comments, it appears that they're going to meet again. Is this group actually going to operationalize itself sometime down the road? Or is this really just the beginnings of another talk shop?
I think that what they're looking at is that sort of because the issue that they're dealing with is sort of a societal soft issue, the solutions are going to be much more political and economic. So I don't think it's going to operationalize in the way that you would have the Quad in terms of military. It's more going to be trying to figure out pathways of intelligence sharing and economic development, cooperation, training, that sort of stuff to try to contain and redirect these internal pushes that could be extremely destructive societally. And we're starting to see real problems happening. There have been some horrible, vicious attacks on Hindus in the Kashmir Valley already. And we're anticipating, you know, the fallout from Afghanistan being similar across the world, actually, as the Taliban gives safe space to some of these global terrorist organizations. So we're at a situation where we need to find other solutions, and we need to find other groupings of like-minded countries to deal with this, the second existential threat to the free world.
The Abraham Accords are mentioned in the news releases. The Abraham Accords are the success so far of Israel with its Islamic neighbors. UAE is mentioned particularly, but Morocco spreading to Somalia. India, often overlooked, is a very large Islamic state along with everything else. Is India looking to join the Abraham Accords in a formal conversation fashion to say Morocco to Delhi, we're all together?
I don't think it needs to. It has a very strong relationship with Israel already. But as you point out, India has, I think, the second largest Muslim population in the world. I think it has more Muslims living in India than in Pakistan, or if not very close. And it is a very well-integrated, well-respected part of the society. One of the great nuclear physicists who was a president of India was Muslim, and a lot of the movie stars are Muslim. Like, it is a part of India. So they don't really have to deal with the kind of issues that Israel would have to deal with when they're dealing with the UAE, for example. So I think that it's going to be much more about creating, again, these economic opportunities, these training opportunities. The UAE has a very young population, as does India. So I think they can do it without having to join any official accord, just in terms of more intelligence sharing, more cooperation, more economic engagement, educational exchanges, people-to-people exchange, in order to try to create a zone of normalcy and prosperity so that the young of all of these countries have buy-in to the future.
Gordon?
Cleo, when the Biden administration took office, there was some question whether they would actually endorse the Abraham Accords. It seems that from this meeting of the four countries that the U.S. is going along on that path. Do you agree that the Biden team is now sort of accepted it, or do you think that these agreements could fall apart in the future? Because it seems to me the would be critical question as to the stability of the Middle East.
Yes, and I think that, sort of, as you point out, having external support from, say, India, talking about the process and talking about how important the process is very helpful for keeping these alive and on track and ideally expanded. I mean, the hope was that at one point Saudis would sign on as well. So as long as it expands in this way, it is actually very promising. And in many ways, that's what's happened with a lot of the continuation of U.S. policy from the Trump administration, is it's the U.S.'s partners who are saying, keep this on track. We want to keep this going, for example, with the Quad. So as long as there are these major other partners involved saying this is helpful, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, then I think that we're in a much more stable position going forward.
Trade. Are we looking at trade agreements? Are we looking at tariffs being lowered? Are we looking at exchanging development? Of India has a large Silicon Valley, I believe, and Israel is all startup all the time, from pharma to silicon. Is that part of the conversation?
Yes, it is currently part of the conversation, as is the UAE trying to figure out its post-fossil fuel economy. So it has a lot of money now, but it doesn't anticipate having indefinite income coming from fossil fuels. So it needs to try to reposition itself. And we've seen it in some of the constituent parts of the UAE around renewable energies or things like that. And the innovation that comes out of India and access to the large Indian market might be a way forward for helping it broaden its economic options away from fossil fuels as that economy shrinks away. So there is this compatibility between the money that UAE has now, the startups in India and in Israel, and the markets that India and the U.S. could potentially offer.
Gordon?
Cleo, this meeting was a group of four countries. Do you think that this grouping could be expanded in the future, or is this just a sort of four countries and that's it?
Yeah, let's be difficult, Gordon. Let's say Pakistan. Are they going to be invited, Cleo? A rough one.
I don't know what they could bring. but I think it might be very possible to see other Middle Eastern countries potentially join. Possibly Bahrain, probably, I don't know about Qatar, but, you know, so I think that it would be more about that section, about maybe Bahrain. I mean, that the other Abraham Accord type countries. So I think that that would be kind of the way to do it. Basically, countries in the Middle East who want to have a different kind of future that moves away from fossil fuels and that is part of the global economy and global ideas market would be attracted by this kind of grouping.
Finally, a topic that we've watched for quite some time. Winter is coming in the Himalayas. The confrontation between China and India. Has there been any change in the posture of both sides?
Well, the talks have kind of officially sort of not been going well. You never expect them to go well anyway. But again, I think that what's going on with the attacks on Hindus, both in the Kashmir Valley, but also in Bangladesh, is extremely concerning. It's bringing back memories of the horrible repression against the Kashmiri Pandits from 25, 30 years ago. So the situation is not stable and very, very disconcerting and likely being pushed by outside influences.
Cleo Pascal, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reporting on the new quartet in the world of nations working together from the Indo-Pacific to the Mediterranean to the Atlantic. That's the U.S. part. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.